Amen. Praise the Lord for that special this morning as well. What a blessing it has already been just being in the house of the Lord. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you look with me to the book of Acts and chapter 13. Acts and chapter 13. And if you will, stand with me if you're able to stand, and we'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. In the book of Acts and chapter 13, beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets, teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manan, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, 'Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them.' When they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. When they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their ministry. And when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the county, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. And Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, 'O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season.' And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness. And he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem." And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you this morning, and what a tremendous blessing it's already been just being in the house of the Lord. Thank you for your presence here, and thank you for how you've already ministered to us through the services. But now as we have focused our attention on this passage of Scripture from your Word, I just pray, God, that you would help each and every one of us to put everything else out of our minds and just focus on what you have for us today. Pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your Word. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. In Acts chapter 13, Saul of Tarsus actually becomes known as Paul, the disciple and apostle of Jesus Christ. I want to preach a message to you this morning entitled "The Discipling of Paul." The Discipling of Paul. Because I believe that God wants all of us to know that God is at work today. In this 21st century, God is at work in this church today. And God is looking to disciple each and every one of us for His will, for our existence. We exist because God has a purpose and a plan for life. In Scripture, we find that God reveals to us how He worked to disciple the Apostle Paul. And I believe that we can learn from this particular man that God has given to us, and knowing that God used him in a mighty, mighty way. But how did God get him from birth to where he was at and what he was able to accomplish concerning the will of God. That is God discipling the Apostle Paul from the very womb. And I believe that that shows us the DNA of God and just how God works. I believe that God is at work discipling every one of us here today, and he began from the womb to bring you to where you're at today and to get you to the place he wants you to be in accomplishing all that God has you here and your existence to accomplish. So we find here, first of all, Saul. Saul was born in Tarsus. Now, we look to the book of Acts in chapter 22 as Paul is giving testimony how God worked in his life. We find some things out about this in Acts chapter 22 and verses 1 through 4. The Bible says this. He says, "Men and brethren and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you. And when they heard that, he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them." See, Saul was Paul's Hebrew name, and he understood Hebrew because he was a Jew. And when they heard him speak in the Hebrew tongue to them, that they kept their more silence, and he saith, "I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in the city for a city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God as ye all are this day. And I persecuted this way," while they were persecuting him, "and I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prison both men and women." So we find here, as we study the Bible concerning Paul, or Saul in the beginning here, that Saul was born in Tarsus. At the time of his birth, everyone born in Tarsus was given Roman citizenship. So he was a Jew, but he was born in this city, and because of what Rome had blessed this city and made everybody that was born in that city, now they have this access to Roman citizenship, which was very important. And Saul would use this throughout his life, as Saul and Paul, to accomplish what God had for him to accomplish. This would have allowed him the best secular education available. At that particular time, they had the best colleges, the best education that was known to humanity at the time. And we find here that he was taught religion by the top religious scholar named Gamaliel. For many years of Saul's life, he would not know who God was, even though he had been taught religion. God is much more than religion. Religion many times will confuse people to the reality of who God is. And Saul would not know who God was, but can I tell you that God would know Saul? You might not truly know who God is today. You're in church this morning, but that doesn't guarantee that you know who it is that you've come to worship. But can I tell you that God knows and has known you since birth, since he was in the womb of your parent? And God has, if you will, worked in your life even to bring you to the place that you're at today in this church. In the book of Jeremiah, we find something very interesting and something that we need to realize. In the book of Jeremiah, as God would use Jeremiah, the thing that Jeremiah needed to know, that God was aware of Jeremiah even in the womb of his mother. And God had a plan for Jeremiah's life, as God has a plan for all of our existence. He really does. God has an individual plan for every one of us. We find in the book of Jeremiah, and again, we reread this to understand how God works. The Bible is the very mind of God. It reveals the very mind of God. It gives us the DNA of God. If you study the Bible, you can learn how God thinks. You can learn how God works. He has given to us the scriptures so that we might know him. And we find here in Jeremiah in chapter 1 and verse 4, "Then the word of the Lord came unto me, Jeremiah, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, God designed how that humanity, every one of us, would be formed. The characteristics of each and every one of us, the DNA of all of us, God designed that. And the Bible says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. For he knew the spirit of that individual that he would place in the womb of that mother. God knew you. You are more than just this human flesh. You have an eternal soul. You have an eternal spirit that God placed in the womb of your mother. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nation. I knew exactly why I formed you the way I did. I knew exactly what spirit I put within you. I had a design. I had a plan for your existence. And God is no respecter of persons. That means that as he designed Jeremiah's existence, he's designed every one of our existence. Things that we have no control over, God does. Can I tell you this morning that God has planted you where you're at? God has made you who you are. God has designed you in the very wombs of your parents. God knew you. He gave your spirit and he placed you in the family that you're in. He made you the men and the boys and the men that you are today. He made you the girls and the women that you are today. God had a design for your existence. It started with God in the womb of your parent, and God is starting to work. He knew exactly who you'd be born to. He knew that you would be born if you were born in the United States of America, because he realized how you could be blessed and how you could grow in your understanding of him by being born in this Christian nation, as he did with Saul. He knew the future plans that he had for Saul, who would become Paul, the great apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he knew that he would need to have Roman citizenship to be able to accomplish what he did, as Rome had the power over him. And so he allowed him, he was the one that designed it, that he would be born in Tarsus to a family of a Jewish mother and a Jewish father. Because God had a design for Paul's existence. I can't go into all of it, but this ought to suffice us to know that God placed you where you're at today. God has designed it. That which I cannot control, God is in control. I couldn't control the parents that God gave me. I couldn't control where I was born. Couldn't control the things that have happened to me through the years. But I know that God does. I don't know exactly how he does it, but I just by faith believe the Bible and I know that he does. Yeah. So in the discipling of Paul, Saul was born in Tarsus. The second thing we find about Saul, who would become this great disciple and apostle Paul, Saul's life would change when he received biblical truth about who Jesus was. In all of his training, in all of his teaching, he was taught that there is a God. He was taught Old Testament, but he was never informed about the knowledge of who Jesus Christ was. He was living a religious life, but he was living a selfish life in using religion to get to the pinnacle that he believed that he would reach. Being taught under Gamaliel, he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, and he had desires to become one of the great Pharisees, no doubt of all time. Saul's life would change, though, when he received biblical truth about who Jesus was. Acts chapter 9, go there with me. Acts chapter 9. I love this passage in Acts chapter 9. It's just Saul's conversion is just a tremendous, powerful conversion. It's where Saul was saved. And Saul, in Acts chapter 9 and verse 3, the Bible says this. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? Now, when Saul said that, he believed in God, and he knew that whatever was happening to him, it was God that was directly speaking to him. He was not looking to Jesus as Lord. He was looking to God. In his religious teachings, he knew that God existed. He thought, that the Bible says later on, in Saul's life, he testified that he thought he was serving God by persecuting Christianity. Because that's what he had been taught. But he had never been taught. He had never been brought to this knowledge and this understanding of who Jesus was. And if you don't know who Jesus is today, you do not know God. For Jesus is God. Who art thou, Lord? He's looking up. He understands that God is doing this. God is revealing something to him. And the Lord said, I am Jesus. His first understanding of who Jesus was. He had been persecuting the followers of Jesus Christ. He had been seeing them come to the place where they were even stoned to death as he stood over Stephen and allowed him to be stoned. He had been breaking up families. He had been persecuting anyone and everything that would associate themselves with Jesus Christ. And now he realizes that Jesus is God. Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. God had been pricking his heart and preparing him for this point. He had been preparing him to believe that Jesus and to know who Jesus is and to receive the truth about Jesus Christ. And he trembling. Now he's got to realize how he had lived his life up to this point was all in vain. And trembling and astonished said, Lord. And now the Lord was directed to Jesus as being his Lord. Not just a God out there somewhere, but he identified God as being Jesus. And he identified Jesus as now being his Lord, meaning he received the truth about who Jesus was. What will thou have me to do? Saul believed, and he called Jesus Christ Lord. This is a personal choice. If he had not believed, and not only believed, but received Jesus now as his Lord, realizing he was God, he was the Savior, he was the Messiah, I believe Paul, one of two things would have happened. He would have been blinded for the rest of his life because this was a trial that he was taking him to, taking his sight to get him to believe in and receive Jesus Christ, or God would have taken his life right then. Whatever it would have been, we don't know because he did not reject Jesus Christ. When he was told that this was Jesus speaking to him, his heart, he had the light of God inside of him. He understood this was truth, and he believed the truth that God has revealed to him, and he willingly, of his own free will, We are not predestined to the point that you have not a choice. Every one of us have a free will. Now, God is working together with your free will to get you to a point. Now, whatever trials that God brings into your life, whatever he has to do, he brings you to the place at some point where you will make a personal decision to believe, and not only believe, but receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's God discipling of us. Now, for some, it happens at an early age. Others, you might not come under the conviction of the Spirit of God, and you might not have the light shine in your heart until you get older, whatever it might be. Paul had spent a lot of his life lost, persecuting Christ and the church. But now God has worked this in his life because God knew what it would take, the influence, the examples, the trials, all the things in his life to make him who God wanted him to be. And to be able to reach those that God wanted him to reach. To be able to identify with those in whom God had him here to identify with. Can I tell you, you're going through trials right now. You're going through things. God is working to disciple you. And it might be that all the things that you're going through is going to prepare you for the work that God has for you once you trust him and believe him to be Lord of your life. But God is working. Yeah. Personal choice. God would have all to choose him. It's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to this place of repentance. For God so loved the world, that's all humanity. It's not God's will that anybody would remain lost and die and go to a devil's hell. It's not God's will for not one person to do that. Hell was not prepared for humanity. It was prepared for Satan and his angels. But all those who reject Jesus Christ will follow Satan into this eternal damnation. But God is going to be working in your life to get you an opportunity to make a decision to not only believe in Jesus Christ, but to receive him as your personal Lord and Savior. But many will not. Sad to say, a congregation, an assembly this size, many in here will not make that decision. How do you know that? Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we've looked to the Bible. The Bible tells us some things about rejecting Jesus Christ and why it is that you might reject him. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3, the Bible says this: but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. The truth of the gospel, either you willingly allow yourself to be blinded to it, or you choose just not to believe it because you've been taught a lie concerning religion. In whom the god of this world, that's the devil himself, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Satan is at the root of all who are blinded to the reality of Jesus Christ being Lord and the only begotten Son of God and the only plan that God has for a person to be saved. Satan has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, the light is there, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Just as Paul had this light shine in them, God will allow this light to shine in your heart to give you an opportunity to believe from your heart, not just your head, but from your heart. You know it's real. You know that you're lost. You know that Jesus is a Savior. You have this light. It's shining inside of you. He says, for we preach not ourselves, and it comes by way of preaching. When you hear the preaching, can I tell you, it's something that God has used today in this 21st century, and he has used the preaching of the word since 2,000 years ago when Jesus Christ came preaching the word of God. He uses the preaching of the Word of God. And when you enter the preaching of the Word of God, if you will allow it to, the Spirit of God will shine upon your heart and in your heart reveal to you that Jesus is Lord. He is the Savior. He is the Messiah. No matter what your past has been, no matter what you believed before, when you come under the preaching of the Word of God, then the Spirit of God will shine the light of Christ in your heart. Because it's with the heart man believeth. Yeah. He goes on to say this, "For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Amen. You remember when you come under conviction and there's something in your heart, your heart started beating about twice the normal heartbeat. And you just, I mean, it felt like it was going to come out of your chest. It's all a part of God revealing to you that you need Him. You needed to make a decision. Yeah. But look what Jesus says about this as well. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. The great Sermon on the Mount, Jesus revealing the blueprint for Christianity. When it comes to people getting saved. In Matthew chapter 7, look at verse 13. He says this, "Enter ye in at the straight gate." God only has one plan. There's a thousand different plans that humanity come up with on what will get you to heaven, how to live your life, what to accept as philosophies. "Enter ye in at the straight gate," there's only one. "For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." The Bible says concerning all humanity, many choose to go in a different direction than the straight gate, the plan of God's. And Satan is at the root of all of it, getting you to follow religion, which might be a wide open gate. Getting you to follow the philosophies of humanity. Getting you to doubt whether or not there even is a God. But the Bible says many will choose a different direction in life than what God has for them. It's not that God doesn't have it for all people. He does. It's not God's will that any should perish. But you have to do it His way. There's no other way. "Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way." Because there's only one way. Amen. There's only one way. So that's narrow. You say, you think that you're the only ones going to heaven. How narrow-minded are you, Baptist? No. I just believe the Bible. I'm just reading the Bible. I'm retaking literally what God has revealed to us that we might know the thinking of God. If we don't have the Bible, then your philosophy is as good as anybody else's. Your religion, whatever you choose. But if you have the Bible, we're accountable to what thus saith the Lord. "Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life." Now, look what it says right here. Concerning humanity, the billions of people on planet Earth today, few there be to find it. Now, I believe the percentage would be higher in a Christian nation such as the United States of America, built upon biblical foundation, built upon the truth of God's word. We are slowly but surely getting away from that. But just in our laws, you see the Bible. You see churches established all because of the Bible. Not all of them are true, but you find it in the United States. That's not the case in other third world nations. Few there be that find it. God made a way for Saul. And Saul, when the light was shown in his heart, he not only believed it, but he received it. Yeah. Now we find that Saul finds himself in the church. And now that's our text. It leads us to chapter 13. We don't have time to tell you how it all happened, but God was at work. God was at work through Ananias, and God was at work through the many others in Saul's life. But finally, we find that God had worked it out in Saul's life to get him into this first Gentile church of Antioch, which received whosoever. Who received, no matter if you were Jew or Greek or Hebrew, what, it didn't matter. You were welcome to come to the Church of Antioch. Amen. The Church of Antioch is the New Testament church today. Yeah. Saul finds himself in the church at Antioch. In chapter 13 and verse 1, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers. God had assembled them all together there. Barnabas, who had played a huge role in Saul's life to get him to the church at Antioch, and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manan, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul, from all different backgrounds and all different nationalities, they were in this Gentile church of Antioch. And Saul was led to this church. All who get saved and yield to God's will be led to his church. That's what the Spirit of God inside of you, once you receive the light, he is going to start working in your life and whatever it might be and however it might happen. But his desire for you once you get saved is to find the church that God has for you. Find that church that he's going to plant you in, because to be scripturally baptized, you've got to be baptized under the authority of a church that has the doctrine of Christ. Amen. Yeah. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16 that I will build my church. When you put your faith in him and you know him to be the Savior of the world, then he wants you to be in his church. And he's going to work in your life to get you to the place where he has planted you in his church. Because God works through his church in this New Testament church age. He works through his church. And he wants all of his believers, all who truly get saved, to be a part of his church. Yeah. So Saul finds himself in the church of Antioch. The next thing in the discipling of Saul and the discipling of Paul, rather, Saul in the church was called out to full-time service. Did you catch that? Verse 2 and 3, we read it. And as they ministered to the Lord, they were serving God through the church of Antioch, all of them. I'd love to have been a part of that church. Amen. I'd love to have heard the preaching of God from all those different men that God had empowered. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. When they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away under the authority of the church. Saul was called out to full-time service in his discipling of Paul. Not all will be called out, but all will have an important work to accomplish in Christ's church. As we look at the Lighthouse Baptist Church, and in April this year, we'll be celebrating 34 years of existence. As God planted this church in that upper room over on East Washington Street, God knew what plans he had for this church. It was God who arranged it. It was God who blessed. It was God who continued to grow his church, this Lighthouse Baptist Church. All we were doing is preaching the word and trying to make sure that we stayed faithful to the Bible and stayed faithful to the Savior because it's his church. And as we stayed faithful to him, he continued to build his church. And as he was working in the lives of different ones, eventually got the membership together. And he continues to add to the membership. And this is God working in our lives. And as he brings us together over the last 34 years, there have been many that God has called out to full-time ministry. We have those on the mission field called out from this church. We have those that are pastoring all around the country called out from this church. We have those that have been called out to be associates and youth pastors' wives and pastors' wives, missionary wives. It's just a blessing to see over the last 34 years how God has worked through his church, growing his church, and calling out those of full-time service. And we rejoice every time. We hate to lose anybody, especially those faithful workers in the church. But it's not ours. It's his. When God calls them out, then we need to get behind them and put our hands upon them and pray for them and see how God might use them. But God doesn't call everyone out. Those who stay, God has a very important work for us. Yeah. To establish Christian homes. And oh, how that's needed as a testimony to the world today. Christian families. Christian homes. Established the way God has revealed to us to establish a home. With one husband, with one wife. Amen. Raising a seed unto him in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Praise God for that. God has a work for those in the church to be a witness to others. When you come to church, you get refueled. Amen. You come to church and you have your faith reinforced. You look around and you see others the same as you. They want to hear the word of God preached. They want to hear the word of God taught. They want to associate themselves with a church that is preaching and teaching the Bible. Amen. They want to associate themselves with a doctrinal church that Jesus established. And just coming and supporting the church, can I tell you, that's a very important work to be done in the 21st century that we're living in. We need more that will be faithful to support the church of Jesus Christ. To support the true doctrine that we have been given. Important work. Just because you were not called out into full-time ministry to go pastor, to go be a missionary or an evangelist or whatever it might be. Listen to me. Your work is no less important. It is very important to help keep the church light shining bright. To make sure that we have a church that's able to disciple others that God brings into this church. From the nursery, from the cradle, amen, to the grave. The church is discipling servants of the Lord. Yeah. Through the church, God had equipped Saul to preach and to overcome opposition. Did a good job. Verse 5 it says, and when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews, and they had also John to their ministry. He went out, he was established, he knew the doctrines, he went out, sent by the church, and he started preaching just as he had been taught to preach the Bible. There's opposition to that. I think Saul had learned how to overcome opposition. Verse 9, then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, full of subtlety. He was not in any way afraid of this false prophet. And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately he had faith in God and the power of God and what God was able to do. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, he saw that God had empowered Paul and the doctrine that Paul had presented, being astonished at his doctrine of the Lord, he believed. Yeah, I think Paul, through the church, had been equipped. And then lastly, verse 13. Now when Paul. You'll never from this point forward see Paul referred to again as Saul. Saul was his Hebrew name. Saul, who became who he was without the knowledge of Christ. Paul would be his Gentile name, and Paul was who he became in Christ being discipled. He's now been discipled, and he's accomplishing what God had designed for him to accomplish in the womb, being born in Tarsus. I look back on my own life. At 22 years of age, my life changed drastically. Even though I was saved and when I was 8 years of age, I was never really discipled. And not being discipled led me in a direction that Saul went in. Religious to a certain extent, but not really governed by it. Yielded to whatever I felt like I wanted to do. You wouldn't have liked me if you knew me before age 22, unless you loved the world. I didn't like myself. But through the death of my father and some different things that God had orchestrated in my life that I had no control over, but God was using in my life, at age 22, I surrendered to be discipled. Yeah. What a change. 23, I met my wife. We've been in ministry now for 39 years. What am I saying? I'm saying when discipled, all can have a productive Christian life. It's what God's will is for your life. But at some point, the light of God's going to be real. It's going to light in your heart. And even though God has future plans, you have to, of your own free will, choose for his plans to become your plans. First of all, in salvation. And then after salvation, a desire to become the disciple that God wants you to be. Are you that disciple? If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. The discipling of Paul helps us to study his life as Saul. See how God orchestrated things to bring him to that Damascus road to be used as God wanted him to be used. And then ultimately him being sent out of the church to be that evangelist, to be that missionary, to be that great apostle that we know of. God has a designed for your life. He really does. Whatever the past is, things you had no control over, God is working. This morning, is the light shining? Do you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? And if you do, have you yielded to being discipled? Father, we bow before you this morning. We thank you, Lord God, for how you work. Thank you for the message and how we see in the life of Paul, how you discipled him to be the great apostle. And Lord, I believe that you want to use this message in each and every one of our lives today. I pray, God, that there would be decisions made that would change lives right here and right now. Possibly salvation, but others maybe just in surrendering to being a disciple. Work in our midst. Bless now in Jesus' name. Amen.